any questions in during the talk. So a bit about myself. I've been working for MariaDB. Who here has never heard of MariaDB before? Okay, so there's a few people here, no problem. So MariaDB is a fork of MySQL, which you've probably heard of. It is developed by the original authors of MySQL, and it is mostly the default MySQL variant in most distributions. So you might be using MariaDB and not actually know it. Like, I've been developing for MariaDB since 2013. I've done various features like roles, window functions, things that then got ported to MySQL or implemented by MySQL. I'm now working on catalogs and also adding MariaDB Vector, a competitor to PG Vector. Now, one of the biggest problems you can have in a database is that the database is a multi-threaded monster. You have many different threads, and race conditions, if there is a bug, happen, but they happen very, very rarely. And it's almost impossible to try to reproduce that failure. So what we usually get is we get core dumps. But the problem with core dumps is that they only give you the state at the end when everything has already went wrong. You don't know where the problem happened. So it would be excellent if we could find a way to go back in time. And I know there is a follow-up talk about how this thing actually works behind the scenes. I'm just going to give you a tutorial on how to make use of it, because I think this will just revolutionize all your debugging experiences. Even simple bugs that are not, let's say, race conditions are much easier to debug if you can step back whilst debugging. So RR, it's an open source project. You can install it. Most distributions have it. And it's a program that basically records your application, the state after each instruction the CPU executes. It does come with some caveats. I'll go into that. But as long as you have CPU support, it should work. Now, to set up, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is do echo 1 to set this kernel parameter. Otherwise, RR will tell you, you need to set this, otherwise I won't work. And then you just run the program. So instead of GDB, RR, the program. The program doesn't stop. It actually just finishes. If it's the server, then it will keep running. But basically, the execution will be stored somewhere. There is a system variable you can change to say where this thing is stored. And then if you want to actually debug the program, you do RR replay. I'll show you in a demo how easy that is. Now, when you do RR replay, you get a GDB prompt with a few extra instructions like reverse next, reverse step instruction, continue and finish. This is useful, but the thing I find the most useful is actually this being able to watch an address that never changes between executions. Because especially when you have a very complex code base, it's very hard to understand where something changes. So you do the first run, you see that this variable is wrong. So then you put a watch point on that variable, and then you run again. And that's how you figure out exactly where things go wrong. It's as simple as that, and it basically takes hours out of debugging. Now, a little bit about how MariaDB does it. I think this is probably a good thing you can try out in your projects. So MariaDB has a test infrastructure similar to other projects. But this one is tailored specifically for MariaDB. It's called MariaDB Test Run. What it does is it issues SQL queries to the server and compares the expected result with the actual result. If usually this works, and if the results are the same, then the test passes. But every now and then, especially in our CI, we get failures. And those failures tend to be hard to reproduce. So in order to reproduce them, what I personally do is I start the testing. I start testing. I ask, I want RR recording. And then I don't just run the same test like over and over. No, I start the same test multiple times in parallel just to overload the system as much as possible to try to get things to actually reproduce. And usually about after 5-6 hours, I tend to get a failure. With this while loop, the thing will stop the moment I get a failure. So then I have the exact trace I need to find my problem. Now, the limitation of RR is that it runs in a single-threaded model, which means that this is how long it takes in milliseconds without RR and with RR. And, of course, if you don't have platform support, you can't do this. It relies on specific CPU capabilities. I've noticed that if you try to get a server in the cloud and try to run this, it will complain about something in AMD Zen processors. So your experience might vary depending on which iteration you have. Now, another problem is that because it's running in single-threaded context, you don't get the exact same behavior as if you were running without RR. And I can show you this. So I made a very small program here. This should be readable. So all this program does is it starts 5 threads. The threads don't have any locking on them. There's a number of iterations, and they try to increment a counter that's not guarded. So obviously, we have a race condition there. We just try to increment something without a lock. If I were to run this program without RR, I get this number here, which is obviously wrong. But if I do try to run it with RR a few times, there you will often get this. This is the correct value if you actually have the right locking. So depending on how your application actually is, it's not guaranteed to be able to reproduce every sort of race condition that you have. Okay, that's for the demo. And now one more thing that I really like about RR is it helps code discovery. Like MariaDB has a code base that's 25 to 30 years old. There's functions there that I don't understand what they do, but I have some expectations what they should return. So what I do is I tend to consider them black boxes and just step over them until I see that this thing returns something that I did not expect. Then I just step back, and then I can go into details into the function. So it even like helps speed up code understanding. Okay. This was a brief talk. That's what I wanted to share. Now, any questions? Thank you.
So I didn't even have time to...
Please make sure to repeat the question.
Yeah. Yeah, you had a question.
For your problem of race condition,
yes.
Have you tried tools such as Trade Analyzer or Valgrind? Like that.
So
the example you have given, for example, would be detected without having to trigger the race condition.
Yes. So I repeat the question. The question was, have I tried other analysis tools to help detect these sorts of race conditions, like Valgrind, sanitizers, stuff like that. So we have a set of tools we use. We use ASAN. So we compile with ASAN and run with ASAN. We run with Valgrind, but Valgrind has also the same problem that it's single-threaded and actually slows down the execution even more. We compile with MSAN, so memory sanitizer. That one is a bit trickier because you have to compile system libraries as well for MSAN. But all these combined with RR, you get to the end result, which is a bug-free program. Yeah.
Yeah, so you said that you need special like CPU features
to yeah.
use RR. Why is this? That's my first question. Second thing is, if I recall correctly, this means that it likely won't work in a VM.
Okay, I don't know the answer to the first question. I think that the next talk will actually explain that.
It's security reasons.
Okay.
So. Security reasons, basically. But, yeah. Okay, go on.
Okay, and like VM-wise, actually, I've never actually had to try in VMs. I've only used containers in the work there, so.
Containers are just processes, so
yes.
It doesn't matter. But for the security reasons, I don't think that's a good answer. I mean,
So
maybe let me rephrase the question, because I understand that's like the security reason to enable perf, right? But why do you need perf in order for RR to run?
Watch my talk.
Okay.
How much data does it typically generate?
I've never actually looked at that, but we can check the recording for this one. So let's have a look. So the question was how much data this recording uses. Let's see. Demo 22. Let's do a DU. So 100 megs for that very quick program.
And for MariaDB, when you run all the separate tests.
Let's see if I have a history of one here.
And just in case, do you run it by default in your CI?
Not with RR. So we don't run RR in the CI. We use it when the CI detects a problem. So let's see this one. So this is one test case. OK, 1 gig.
Uh-huh. OK. One test case, 1 gig.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, I think GDB provides the record command as well. Watch my talk.
Promotional.
No, I'm going to go exactly over that.
The GDB record doesn't work. Is that true?
Watch it all.
Watch it all. My talk is to get you to fix things. So, yeah, there's another.
There was one there. Yeah.
So the part that was unsaid a moment ago about the sanitizers, what about thread sanitizer?
So about thread sanitizer, I have not.
It's good.
So the sanitizer is good. You can detect a data race or something like this. But the thing is that you might have a crash that may be a result of something else that was like intended. And then you may want to step back to find out the exact reason. And also things like ASAN may not help you because like, for example, ASAN is like doing this kind of shadow memory juggling to basically detect incorrect memory accesses. But the thing is that when you have like, for example, implement your own containers where you handle the capacity versus size thing, then the memory out of bound access between the capacity and, or sorry, size and capacity won't be detected if it's your container and it's not really like prepared for ISO.
But you can poison if you have your own container.
Yes,
you
can do that. And for example, there are projects to, for example, enable this for STD string or STDBQ and LLVM right now.
So one problem we tend to have is there's actually no data corruption. There is data corruption on disk, and you need to figure out how that got on disk. And it's not necessarily a race condition. It's a bug that's hidden in the logic, and it only happens in a certain case of events. So usually the crash is an assertion failure somewhere.
Yeah. So in your example, we can see that there is difference of the increment of the counter.
Yeah.
Do you know why it's the reason? Is it because the instrumentation has latency and then therefore?
So probably the next talk will help answer that better. But I have a theory, and at least this is my understanding of it. So if it's running in single-threaded mode, it has to context switch between the threads. And it has to decide when that context switch happens. It just seems to be significantly more likely to switch after the store has happened, in which case the number, you kind of get to the right one at the end.
So another way of saying it is it serializes execution.
Yes, exactly. And there is a chaos mode you can enable. So RR with --chaos makes it a little bit more possible for it to happen, more likely for it to happen?
My talk will not answer that.
Oh. Well, that's a good question for you then.
Yeah.
Do you know if RR is recording process information? Like, for example, if you do infoproc mappings, will it actually show up the memory, the neural memory mappings that are there on this point in time when you are actually stopped on and like reversed? And another question, does it maybe record additional information, like for example, where the file descriptor points to? Like what was the link on that proc, pit, FD, and the number there? Because that would be very useful to have. And
if it's in memory, it should be there.
I mean, probably yeah. The memory mapping is there, because yeah. I assume.
In-memory stuff, I've not had a problem getting it. So it's a very technical question. I don't have like the best answer, but I don't think there is a problem. Yep.
Is there a plan to support multiple threading in R, like to actually run things in parallel, or is it not possible by design?
I'm not one of the RR developers. I can't answer that. But like from my understanding, I think it's kind of hard to get the CPU to do that. You're kind of relying on CPU being able to write stuff to memory. So.
I just have a question. Ready to be the releases are, how good are we in terms of known bugs, race condition bugs? This is for CI, and I don't know why brought some. Just wondering, the release, the MariaDB product,
yeah.
Is it free of race conditions? Like,
there is a law, I don't know who named it, but there is no software free of bugs.
Yeah, okay, but
it's free of known race conditions.
Knowns.
Like there are, like, obviously we try our best not to ship a buggy product, but there are race conditions, especially when we've done lots of performance improvements for like high core count machines, like 96 plus cores, and that required some refactoring, especially in InnoDB, the storage engine. There might still be race conditions there. We have had emergency releases when we release something and then we realize a day later we're getting data corruption. We need to do an emergency fix. But overall, we are pretty confident that the CI, since it runs for so many platforms, I think we have about 200-ish different combinations. If there is a race condition, it tends to show up.
So is it just x86 or is it cross-architecture?
The tool works on ARM. So I know it has support for M1 plus max. I know x86 and ARM and Apple Silicon kind of works.
That's all? Then?
One more?
Okay, one final question.
That's a very naive question. So I'm, let's say I'm a language developer. I'm making my own compiler. I need my own native code. Should I be using RR for something other than the sigfault?
I use RR for, whenever I need a debugger, I use RR instead.
Okay.
So.
Even for logic problems where
yes.
You've got like a zero execution code at the end, but the logic was flawed and wrote
The advantage is that you can go back in time so that you can inspect the value that even if you set a breakpoint like too late, you can just go back.
Yeah.
But one interesting thing is that the program you're debugging is not live. It's just being emulated. So if you would like to, for instance, see what this function would return in this situation or things like that, GDB, because it's running GDB in front of MetaNet. GDB cannot just run the functions, tells you what would happen. So there are cases in which you don't want to use RR.
Yeah, it's an abstract interpretation. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just emulating the thing, basically.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So does this mean there is no like inferior running under the hood, so you cannot do print and call foo with an argument?
Well, now that you say that, I thought it wasn't.
I can try that.
No,
I think
okay,
it
yeah,
probably
we can try it. Because I know some ways to do that would not have an inferior running.
Yeah.
But right now I'm not sure what RR does. I never Spoilers, I never looked at the RR code. I just have a vague idea of how it does that.
Okay, let's see. We can do a... So you're saying to call printf, basically?
No, call any function that is in your puts. Program.
You can call puts. It should be there because you have GPT loaded.
Okay, I can probably do this.
So it does have a live interior. I'm sorry, that one's correct.
Yeah, it does. It did it 10 times.
But your function can have side effects. How is this?
Yeah, so it does not. It's
correct.
Sorry, but what happens now if we step back?
So,
2 minutes left.
No. Again, my talk. I'll touch on this, and then I can.
We died.
talked a little bit. I can go into a little bit more detail than I planned in my talk. There is a specific point where I say this is how I heard RR works. I've never looked at it, but now I can like go a little bit further. But yeah, so this was the talk, and in 5 minutes I'll start explaining the technical details.
Right. Thank you.